you just look back and you realize who you were 10 years ago
right.
is different. Mm-hmm. In fact, many times I don't even think that I was, and then I'll come across like an interview I did or something, and I'll think, Jesus, I sound so stupid, or I sound so immature or superficial or something, and I'll think, oh, I feel like I've grown, but I wasn't aware
of it. That's normal, and that is a good thing. We always do that with our work, our words online. Whenever we see, I don't know, memories on Facebook, that's probably one of those 100,000 sure. posts. You read something that's like, did I really say that? You have the worst defenses.
Yeah, it's been an unusual season where I don't know if you got me sick or if I just never really lost it.
I didn't. You got me sick, and then you went away again, and then you went to a party, and you got sick again.
It just doesn't make sense because I wasn't sick for I lost my voice, but I wasn't sick. At least I didn't feel sick at all. And then it's like I got sick as a coincidence and I haven't recovered.
It's a warning to be more careful with your loudness.
Yeah, except that shouldn't make you sick.
yeah, but it hurts your throat.
Well, that's certainly been true. It's been miserable. I walked in to buy this coffee a little bit ago and I was holding back my coughing so much that my eyes were watering and I was kind of like speaking in short and I was like, this guy thinks I'm probably on some kind of drug right now because I was like blurry-eyed being like, just a coffee. Like, I looked sketchy.
No. I was so excited because Austin's voice is not what you hear. It was not what you hear right now, guys. It was a super epic impression of Harvey
Fierstein.
Yes. And actually, I'm going to play a little bit of it right now.
Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting. Get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take thy form from off my door, quoth the raven, nevermore.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
It was so cool. I mean, you can't deny that.
I did text Troy to say, like, is this what it's like to be you?
Maybe not that way, because obviously cool. You can't compare like a smoker voice with Troy's voice that is like super clean. But yeah, you could have said, so have you had any competition? Because I'm coming, baby.
Yeah, it didn't last long, but it would have been fun.
What a great way to say welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to the last episode of 2022 of Brushes and Keys, episode 18. This is Angela Bermudez.
This is Austin. And this is our first... Our first end of the year, completion of our, like, we didn't start at the beginning of the year, but it's our first, the end of, nonetheless, the first year of this show, which is nice, which feels somehow symbolic.
Our first wrap up.
Yeah, exactly.
We should talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly stuff that happened this year.
All right.
Shall we start with the
start with the bad?
Yeah, let's do bad
for sure.
We did a little list of five bad things that happened. Just because the good stuff, it's better when there is bad stuff. Like, I think the good stuff, it's shinier when it's among bad stuff.
Calling it shiny makes it sound like you're making a Firefly reference. By the way.
Oh my God. Austin is making me watch Firefly and I'm like going slow, but I'm trying to get into it.
I greatly appreciate support from people who watch this to sing from the hills about Firefly. She's never seen it. It's been 20 years. I think it's one of the greatest things ever. and
I want it.
In any case,
I don't dislike it so far.
They call things shiny. They say, instead of saying like, that's cool, they go, oh, shiny. They've already said it, but you just don't notice because it has to happen a bunch of times before you realize, oh, that's like part of the vocabulary. But I actually only put down one thing for the bad. And it's because most of the things that you would call bad are so inconsequential once you get enough distance from them. They don't even seem worth acknowledging to...
I asked for five things, Austin. A five list is not long. How do you get through school? Like, you can even cheat. You can say, I got sick in Italy. I got sick in Germany. I got sick in, you know, like...
I didn't get sick in any of these... I didn't go to Germany. I guess I passed through the Frankfurt airport.
They're just examples.
But yeah. No, but that's the thing. Like, that stuff all feels too silly to bother. And I don't even remember. It's one of those, like, I remember them in the moment, but then when I try to think back, I don't hang on to stuff like that. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to see it. You're not getting an A, but I agree that is a good way to see it. So what is your bad
thing? Like, for example, the most typical bad thing that happens to me on any given year is I put a huge amount of effort into trying to land some specific job, and then it doesn't work out. That happens all the time because I'm lucky in my career to be up for a lot of things, which means that you're not going to get every job. So some subset, maybe half, maybe more than half of the time, you're not going to get it. And sometimes those things that you don't get are things that I find myself deeply invested in, and I'm really hoping it's going to work out. But it's never been one of those things where it damaged my career or whatever to not get the job. I was grateful to even be up for the job. And so, I'll have like a day or maybe occasionally a week where I feel kind of shitty because I really was fantasizing about it a lot. But then I move on. And at the end of the day, the fact that I was up for it at all compared with 5 years earlier where, you know, every year the jobs I'm up for tend to be bigger and higher profile than they were the year before. So it's like, even if I don't get them, there's a progress of sorts that you can measure. There's a career trajectory. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I very quickly mostly just see the positive sides, and I kind of forget in the end. Like, it's not even that I try to forget, like, you know, oh, let it go or whatever. It's more just like, I found myself sitting here thinking, and I was like, I honestly just don't know what to put. The one thing I didn't think to put, was when Mike Lang died. And beyond the fact that just hit me like a ton of bricks, like really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
It also just made me realize that sometimes I'm not as good as I think I am about making people aware when they are important to me that they are important to me.
Right.
Everyone likes to say, oh, they knew, la, la, la. But I go, yeah, but if you're not making the effort to call or to text or email or something more frequently, why would they know? Like, what other psychic power do you think they have? And so, you know, even though it's not like I worry that Mike died, you know, thinking I hate him, I wish we had spoken more frequently. And the thing that made it such a shitty event, probably the single shittiest event for me of the year, was that I literally had it on my list to call him the day I found out he had died.
Right.
It was on those, like, I'm calling him today no matter what, because I had been in London thinking about him, listening to a podcast he had recorded, and he was in my head, and I was so excited. I had this whole list of questions, and I wanted to do a podcast. And so anyway, I don't want to dwell on it, but point is, like, of all the negatives, that was the only one that it instantly came to mind when you asked, like, what were the down moments of the year.
Right.
That was the one that, to me, I actually do remember because I felt like there was an important life lesson baked into it.
I guess that one is a perfect example of the only way to find light is among darkness. So I think that is a great reminder of, you know, be more present with the people you love.
Yep. Absolutely. So that was my one and only. I'm sorry I failed the assignment, but
No, I have
that. That was my one and only.
Well, I accept that it was very good.
And I promise I understood that you were like, it can be something a little stupid and trivial. It doesn't have to be like life stuff. Yeah. So right. I just really couldn't remember. I was like, I'm sure there were things, but
yeah, there are things. Like my list is it has a little bit of, you know, both. For example, the one that came first was my just being stuck here because of my visa situation, the amount of work that took to get it, and the amount of obviously money and time. And then I realized that all this process was counting on, like, the time wasted in the process was time that I was supposed to be here. So by the time they gave me my visa, it was what, like a year after, and that counted. And I was hoping it didn't count. I don't know why I had this naive thought of...
At least you were able to stay here, though, during that year. Like, if they had counted that year, but you were forced to go to Costa Rica for a year, that would have been bullshit.
Yeah, I know. It was okay. I just pictured... I just had in my mind that the moment they give me my visa, this is like a fresh, you know, we start from here, not from last year when the thing caducated. So yeah, that was the first thing. Always government. It's always government when I think about the best.
Preaching to the choir.
I guess the second is financial status. You know, it's so inconsistent to be a freelance artist, but there's a lot of people that is listening right now that is like, oh, yeah, I know, I'm there. It's awful, and I probably shouldn't complain about it because I'm doing well regardless. It's just so inconsistent, and sometimes it's a little worrisome because I obviously try to help my family from here, and it's sometimes, you know, kind of like makes you think about your life decisions, and you know, it's a little, you don't feel very secure. And that is linked with my third is not be able to see my family again, because I have 4 years or 3 years. I think it's 4 years.
I think we went to the resort, the volcano place, in 2019.
So it's 3 years and change.
3.5 years. That was summer 2019, like 6 months-ish before the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's a fuck ton of time. And because it's fine. I get to speak to them every day and, you know, a few times per week sometimes. But I think psychologically affects more than I expected. And I hope I can make it. That is one of the goals. I hope that next year I get to be with them for a few days. And yeah, just to like decompress. And yeah, let's see a few familiar faces because it's been a while.
I think that is an excellent goal, but I know we're getting ahead of ourselves focusing on the goal aspect of it, but yeah, it's definitely been likewise a goal. I haven't seen my mom in several years as well, and she moved right at the start of the pandemic, same time we did, and I haven't visited her in her new home. It's not that far. It's obviously requires a flight and stuff, so It's not like it's the easiest thing to just go drive down the road. You have to plan it. But fortunately, it's not that far. It's certainly not a very good excuse to not do it sooner than later. So,
right.
I suppose I could echo your that one of yours as well.
Yep, that's good. And I guess, the rest is like, it's more like a personal issue that I had. That was, you know, just normal for everybody. Just the struggle, the natural struggle of self-esteem or comparing with others, or, you know, if just thinking that if you're not enough, if your work is not good enough, and all those things.
Is there something specific that made you feel that way? Because I feel like you are very, very outspoken about not comparing oneself and that kind of thing.
I know.
I'm actually quite surprised that this is on your list.
No, it always happens. It's one of the downsides of social media. You can't force your mind. You can't say, I'm not going to compare with anybody. But you can't help it. You do it. I guess nature of being human. You see others' success and you feel, you kind of like...
It's true.
Yeah, you question yourself. And it's inevitable.
Yeah, well, and we all have our weak moments. Like, I'm pretty optimistic and pretty good at all those things, you know, at keeping myself kind of out of the rut. But I'm still nonetheless very capable of falling into it. So, you know, that's just the human nature, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's natural. I don't think it's like an issue. I think it's just something that we have to deal with in a daily basis sometimes. But it shouldn't be a big deal if we know how to treat it, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I think those are like generally the bad things. You know, it's not much, and I'm glad it's not much. But it's good to make a list. I think you guys should do the same. Write this stuff that you didn't like about this year, and see how can you change that. I think it's a good way to be better.
I think some things. It's simply about just accepting and moving on, because there won't all necessarily be things you can change.
Yeah, of course.
It would be more like, you know, just learning to let it go and just wash your hands of it. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, for example, if you had had like, let's say somebody had like a best friend that they had this enormous fight with and it broke the friendship. Like, they absolutely had a total just falling out. It could be that it's beyond repair, and that maybe it was a you know, unhealthy dynamic or whatever. It could be that the best thing is just to say, you know what, I gotta stop beating myself up over this, and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
like there are plenty of examples where I that's probably my single biggest challenge, is I have a hard time just like, I can let things go in the kind of day to day, but when something feels silly,
mm-hmm.
what it feels like, well, that shouldn't be a big deal. I have a hard time accepting that, you know, I guess others might not see it the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I get like fixated, hung up on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen this with me, where something just seems like it ought to be a smaller deal than it is, and so I kind of get stuck on it. But anyway, so yeah, it's not about not everything per se, I'm just adding into the mix,
mm-hmm.
should necessarily be about looking back and making changes so much as just looking back and then just letting things drift downstream as they will naturally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason why overall, I think I'm pretty good at that, because I had a hard time thinking of negatives to begin with. Because
right.
I tend to just let them go.
Yeah.
In any case, so was that your whole list?
Yep.
Was there some? Okay, awesome. All right, so what about your positives?
The good things that I put here was that I finally made peace with toxic ex-relationships. That's a big one. Like, even if I don't speak to them or anything, I feel like I don't get bothered if I see them on the street or I see them online or whatever. I can just live my life and I'm not holding any bad, how do you say?
Just holding on to anything bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it other than just
holding, you know, into, I don't know, there's
residual negativity.
Yeah, I am finally not holding any negative feelings towards anybody, and I feel good. That feels good. That was hard to do.
For sure. Yeah.
Explore the city with friends. And that's, for me, a big deal. Because I know I'm here and I know that the city is just right there. But I don't have people to hang out with. I don't have like a specific friend to go have a cup of coffee with, or a friend to go shopping, or a friend to go like get materials for cosplay or whatever. You know, those things sound so easy. For me, it's not as exciting. It's like a chore.
Right.
If I do it on my own. So when I realized Sebas and Johan were coming, those are friends from Costa Rica. That way I used to see them in conventions and stuff. We did a lot of things. We went to the beach. We bought tickets for a lot of things. And yeah, we enjoyed the city and we explored and walked a lot and and traveled to different spots and learned a little bit more of LA. And I'm happy that I got to do it.
Yeah, I've lived in LA now for 17 years. And there are still some basics that I've never done. And so I always really enjoy when someone's visiting as an excuse to go do some of those basics. But also it's been a fun thing. Haven't been as aggressive with it as should be, but I enjoy any time you and I do that stuff. Because, yeah, we live in such a culturally rich spot. Yeah. People come from all over the world.
I know. I can't help it. I feel guilty. Every day I'm locked and I don't do any exciting thing outside. I feel like I'm missing out so much because of
everything.
Everything. I blame Canvas, but still, it's my fault. I should just go. If I want to do it, I should go. But also, I don't feel safe going alone. And it's obviously not as exciting as if you go with somebody and talk about this stuff.
Oh, of course. No, absolutely. No, we're on it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, you did better this year than before. So
oh, yeah, we're definitely sure.
Clearly on it.
Oh, yep. On it. Actually, you know what? Why don't you say a few of your stuff before I continue?
Well, anything to do with the Thai cave show was basically the first thing I thought of because, you know, it was a wonderful project just in general, but it was one of those that is so beyond the job. The fact that it enabled me to go visit a part of the world I'd never been to and to make new friends in a completely different musical universe from who have become good friends who I message with and on a nearly daily basis. And I'm always seeing what they're sharing on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. And you know, they're getting ready to launch. I think in part because of what we achieved with the show, they're launching an entire business now meant to attract Western composers to recording in Thailand.
Nice.
And like they've built a whole service off of basically what we did
together.
Are
you saying you're changing the history of Thailand?
Not even a little, but I'm proud of them for what they're building there.
I can say it. You don't worry about it. I can say it for you.
It's not true, but I am happy to play a role in the lives of these particular musicians and composers. But just being able to go and visit, and then not the least of which was when we went back for the premiere, being able to go to the actual cave and being able to meet the actual boys mm-hmm. and a bunch of the actors and the filmmakers and people. It just was one of those where, you know, I've worked on a lot of projects and sometimes, you know, you kind of come and go, you know, at minimum tend to connect with and bond with the director, but don't really have much opportunity to kind of know the world of it beyond that and feel like you're kind of lived it. But this was one where it just was such a big part of my life for a long time, including, mm-hmm. you know, 2021. But, you know, it, like of all the projects that I brought to the finish line. It was the one that I think also kind of changed my wiring as a musician the most.
Nice.
I mean, a lot of that Thai musical, those Thai specific Thai folk traditions, it just became things I just kind of internalized. I find myself wanting to use them more and more on other projects that have nothing to do with that. So anyway, yeah, that was one of the absolute highlights of the year for me, because it ticked a lot of the boxes. It both professional. Obviously, I wish more people watched the show. It was a huge overseas.
I was going to say you guys should, because one of the things that I am generally proud of is that I don't cry easily. It's hard for me to break, and this show did it. This show made me like I had so much pain in my throat. I was holding it as much as I could. It's so really good. It is so good, and yeah, it's not because it's you. Job. It's not because it's you or anything, but you guys, you're missing out. Please, please, please keep it there. Add it to your list. And give it a chance, because it's really good.
And watch it in Thai. Don't watch the dubs.
Good tip. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that one hit me personally and professionally in a way that few things do. Good. You know, most things at their best work-wise are, like, there's always a certain amount of personal, because I bond with the people I work with, and I have all these great memories with the musicians that that collaborated on it and all that kind of thing. Even small projects. But this was one where, not the least of which was Susie, who I'd been friends with for so long. You know, we really were in the trenches on a far deeper level together than ever before, you know, as true co-composers and collaborators. And anyway, just great. That was the first one came to mind. And the next one on my list is kind of an extension of that, kind of, because even though I know that for you it's also kind of one of the negatives, and I don't love that aspect.
I did travel
I think more in 2022 than in any year ever before.
Don't phrase it like that. I like that you get to enjoy life.
No, I know you're not resentful. I just know that it was a lot of time away from you, and especially because the pandemic forced the opposite, we had the longest unbroken period of time together, followed by me then leaving constantly, and like leaving in significant ways. You know, I used to traditionally just travel for a day or two, go to GDC 3 days or DICE for 2 days or a recording session in Nashville. You know, like I remember going to record Fireteam and early 2021, for example, for a day or 2 days rather. Like, so trips tend to be short, but it was like, you know, it was like 8 days in Australia, 8 or 9 days in Thailand, and then 8 days in Thailand again, and then 2 weeks in almost 2 weeks, just shy of that, in
all of Europe,
across all of Europe. and so it was like, I just acknowledge that when you're living with someone and it's not fun, and but setting aside that aspect of it, selfishly, I guess, I am grateful that I had such opportunities to travel so much and to, you know, to make significant trips near and far, you know, San Francisco and Las Vegas for short range trips, like for little, you know, conventions and things like that. But then, yeah, 2 trips to Thailand, a trip to Australia, trips to multiple trips to
you got
London,
to pet
Paris.
Kangaroos.
I got to feed kangaroos out of my palm of my hand, and pet koalas.
Aww.
And
dingoes,
a dingo named Banjo. you know, stand in 0 degree cold in Norway, and all everything in between. It was truly, like I said, the highlight probably of all, travel-wise. I mean, it's tough. The standing inside the cave in Thailand, the Tom Luang Cave, was definitely one of those, like, it was almost a spiritual experience. I mean, it was truly, just hit me really hard thinking about those kids just having no idea what their fate would be. and being able to know that, yeah, it was literally in where I am right now. And of course,
farther away, yeah.
You know, a kilometer and a half deeper in than mm-hmm. I was only able to go about a half a kilometer in. And they were 2.5 kilometers in, I think, when all was said and done. So they were significant. Like, it's insane how far in they went. And it, like, they got pushed by the water, I should say, to make it clear. They didn't try to go that deep. But mm-hmm. anyway, so yeah, that, the other one, another one that was also on my list that's like separate from travel in general, was being able, I went for only 24 hours, but going to London for the proms to hear Journey at Albert Hall was one of those like kind of bucket list things also. The proms is like one of those concerts I always would see writings about in articles and online and always kind of looked at and thought, that would be cool someday to go to that. And I did not know. And then when they announced they were going to be doing an all video game music one, I just assumed I wouldn't be part of it because they announced that it was happening and no one had contacted me. And if it made it to the point of announcement and there was still no word, that undoubtedly
right.
almost always means they've already figured out what they're going to perform. They then reached out, the BBC reached out, and I was obscenely grateful that they did, and I was able to go out there for it and meet Rob Ames, conductor of the London Contemporary Orchestra, who I had admired from afar as well and had never met. He was conducting the Royal Philharmonic that night, but his orchestra is the London Contemporary Orchestra. Anyway, that was just, it was a very short trip, literally just go there, go visit Abbey Road to ambush Anthony Panther, who was conducting a session for John Everest, and then go to the concert. Then the next morning, have a quick coffee with Dan Pemberton, and then fly home. It was pretty great, pretty fantastic. Anyway, so there's a few of mine. I have a couple others, but I'm gonna rest my throat for a second.
You should have water. Go get water.
It's not about that, I promise. I'm not dehydrated. It's just.
He needs it anyway. Weird. Whenever we speak, it's just.
Well, that may be true.
I guess one of those good things that I felt happy with is to discover new things about ourselves as partners.
You've surprised me a bunch of times. Just we'll have conversations about who we are as people, and you'll surprise me with the kinds of internal evolutions that you make, and that also you provoke in me, across every aspect of our personalities and everything. I mean, it's I don't know why it should be surprising. I guess it's just change is often so slow and gradual that you don't really perceive it. You just look back and you realize who you were 10 years ago
right
is different. Mm-hmm. In fact, many times I don't even think that I was, and then I'll come across like an interview I did or something, and I'll think, Jesus, like, I sound so stupid, or I sound so immature or superficial or something. And I'll think, oh, I feel like I've grown, but I wasn't aware.
No, that's normal. And that is a good thing. We always do that with our work, our words online. Whenever we see, I don't know, memories on Facebook, that's probably one of those 100,000 sure. posts. You read something that's like, did I really say that?
Yeah. I always used to write stupid posts that are like, you know, like, another week, another score. Or like, I was always trying. It wasn't that I was trying to brag about being busy, but it just, I enjoyed the sense of there's new stuff happening. And I overshared.
Yeah.
When I see my Facebook posts from like 11 years ago and 10 years ago, they always make me, roll my eye. I don't think they were doing any harm, but I was like, I don't ever share things like that now.
Been there.
I barely share in general. But yeah. No, the point I was trying to make, I just want to highlight, the point I was trying to make is that most of the time I observe change in myself or in you by comparing it with things that are quite old. But what I think to the point you're making about just growth is that there have been plenty of times where we had conversations where you make me realize, like, oh, even from a year ago, I feel differently about certain things,
mm-hmm.
or I feel more solid about certain things. Like, I just feel more confident or whatever. It's hard to generalize, but you, there have been many times where you really did make me appreciate things on a much shorter time frame than normally we're able to see. So that's a great one for your list, and I can only just say yeah, for sure.
It sounds like if I were someone else, I would think that I am bossing you around. Seems
no,
like.
No, it goes both ways.
It goes
no,
both
no,
ways.
No, I don't think so. No, yeah. I think you're projecting that. I think we both have had those moments. And believe me, no, I do not respond well to being told what to do. This has been true my whole since childhood. Like, I got in trouble with my teachers all the time. I don't like authority figures.
But when I asked you to go hug canvas, you go
50% of the time. Half the time I just roll my eyes because I don't like doing things because I've been told to do them. I like doing things because I chose to do them. And that's just been that way my whole life. That's why I love Firefly. It's the whole show about thumbing your nose at the government.
Right.
Mean that in the slightest with what you were saying. I didn't mean that asked me to change things.
Yeah.
You haven't. It's not that at all. It's just that when you're with someone, it causes you to actively examine elements of yourself that might be optimized for the sake of the relationship. Like, oh, here's a little change I could make that will have a big impact on the quality of the dynamic.
Yeah, more dirty socks around the basket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, little things and big things. And anyway, yeah, there have been a lot of times where I've realized ways that I've changed in ways I didn't really notice that I had,
mm-hmm.
that you helped inspire, and ways that you have as well. Credit to you. A lot of things that you
absolutely
that you feel differently about or you mm-hmm. know, stopped doing or started doing or whatever, just in day-to-day life, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And very accurate.
Yeah, my fourth one is we finally made this podcast.
Yeah, that was one of that was my next one too.
Really?
Cute. We're just adorable. No, it's true though. I really because I've really enjoyed podcasting as a general thing. It's become a pretty big part of my life, you know, especially if you count You Gotta Hear This, despite the fact that we haven't done one in almost 6 months.
Jesus, really?
But if you yeah, August.
Wow.
If you count You Gotta Hear This as a show, that means I have four podcasts.
Yeah.
And
well, three of them don't have canvas.
That's true.
So it's, yeah.
That's absolutely true. In fact, two out of four don't have theme music. two out of four do, but I only wrote the theme to one of those four, and only one of those four has canvas in the theme.
Yay! Canvas gasping.
Recorded in
the
closet.
Best. Mm-hmm.
With a Zoom mic. But yeah. Anyway, no. I was gonna say the same.
Oh my
I really
God,
enjoy.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it, and I really enjoy this format of like having a thing that we can kind of think about for a day or two, or at least an hour before we record, like going into it. I like our list of candidate topics, and it's fun when we're like out in the world and we see a thing or a conversation ends up somewhere and we go, ooh, let's write this one down. We should revisit this one for the sake of the show. I really enjoy.
I love that.
That. Yeah.
I love that. We get to see the world differently.
Exactly.
We kind of are like more paying more attention to things that we normally wouldn't. And it kind of like changed the perspective.
Yep. I had a kind of similar thing happen with the You Gotta Hear This ones, where I found myself listening to music through the lens of like, what could this pair with to make like a little playlist? I found myself listening through the like, what is the connective tissue, which made me listen to things in a different way. And this expands on that like 100-fold and makes me just kind of look at everything I'm encountering in life through the lens of, you know, but what would a painter and a composer have to say about that? I'm glad that we both had that.
Yeah, and for me, it's a big shift in my personality, in myself, I guess. Because first off, I never had the confidence to do something like this. I tried streaming on Twitch.
Right.
I don't know why, it never clicked. I tried several times, actually, a lot of times. And I didn't feel like it was going anywhere. But this somehow makes me feel more excited. And it also, I like the idea of having myself, putting myself out there, because otherwise I don't get to tell any of these stories.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to write a post about whatever the stories we've told. Or, I don't know, it's like a different way to put yourself out there. And also for people that don't know me very well, you get to share a lot, you get to go to conventions, but in my case, I stopped doing that. And this felt like a window of that, just putting myself out there, just telling my stories, telling my point of view on things, and people get to know me, and I love that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just literally alone for the fact that you were so unsure of your English, which I always thought was silly because your English was always fine. Like, it's definitely better than it was, but it was always fine.
It is better, and it actually helps. I assume the first episode is not as fluent as this last
the
one.
18th.
I don't know. I should go listen. I'm not gonna. Because I feel self-conscious.
I feel that.
I'm not going to put myself in that position, but I believe that I am better now. And it's all thanks to this project. And I am grateful that we get to do it. And I'm grateful that I get to do it with you. And it's so fun.
Couldn't agree more.
I'll tell you my last good thing of 2022.
Yeah, what's that?
Andor.
Oh man, what a great one. what a masterpiece.
I love this reaction.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm glad I got to put it there.
You're like, so all that's well and good, but the true highlight of the year.
No, it's not the order.
Oh,
doesn't matter.
It is.
I just let it. You're an asshole.
Nothing could be better. It's all great. We're connecting and life is beautiful and you're like all the self-confidence. But Tony Gilroy and Andor.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars is good again. Who would have? Yeah, that's a really excellent finale. Highlight to 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a kick up a notch is a really great one. The only other one I had on my list, but I like ending with Andor better, was that I was very grateful to release the Traveler Symphony.
Oh, yeah.
And it, not that I am eager to sort of say goodbye to Journey, or that I even could. Like, I already have emails from people wanting to perform Journey in concert next year and beyond. And that, like, I'm grateful that that seems to just keep going, but it did feel like a big, like 10 years had ended, big symbolic gesture, you know, was able to do it how I wanted to do it. You know, work with Andrea on something really personal and have a wonderful time together in London. You know, be back in the studio with Tina on it, all those things. It was all very special, but it also feels like it's really nice that that was all great. And then it's kind of like, and now you kind of let it be.
Yeah. You can finally just,
be completely focused on the future.
Change the page. I was going to say.
Absolutely. And I'm always doing that, I think, in general. But you know, I don't know. 10 years was kind of like, wow, I can't believe it's already been 10 years since it came out, and was able to make my big gesture and then move on. So yeah. Anyway, that was the only other one I had.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
So you started this off by saying the good, the bad, and the ugly. However, the ugly is not ugly.
I know, I was being silly. No, the last list is the goals for the future, goals for next year. I hope you guys are also making a list of your personal good things, bad things, and goals.
Absolutely.
This is a good exercise just to analyze and to see what we want.
So what are your forthcoming goals?
Well, this is here we go again. Uh-oh. I failed miserably trying to read more. I read some, but I didn't do as I wanted to because I was very loose on my goal. I just said, I want to read more. I want to read. That's all. But I think it's good to specify, to put a number. And I decided that for 2023, I'm going to read 2 books per month. That means 24 books. So we'll see.
That's great.
Yeah. I think I work better if I concrete everything. If I get to have a proper all written down and not to lose, because I can't.
Well, and also having kind of like sprint goals is important, because if you were like, I'm going to read 24 books in the year, it's really easy to just go, I mean, it's January, I have the whole year. It's February, I have most of the whole year. It's March.
I know. And
so to make it more short-term oriented, I think is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I've been listening to way more audiobooks as a result of riding my bike to the studio. And my brain works at a higher level when I'm reading more frequently. That's for sure. So I like that goal. I support that goal.
Yeah.
I will join you in that goal.
Good. The next one is to focus better on my art and paint what I want instead of paying more for others, because I struggled a lot on delivering this year. I struggle with a lot of different things and I don't think I'm doing a good job. I just didn't like that feeling. I was beating myself up for not delivering on time, and I felt horrible.
For commissioned work specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not doing a great job delivering things. And I think I should focus more on what I want to do and focus more on the series of pieces that I want to make instead of leaving that aside and do what I'm told to.
Right.
I guess I failed on that, and I wanna shift a little bit the course. And with that, I hope I get to have my own exhibition, or at least plan it. I know it is a big thing, and it's probably any other like traditional artist will laugh at me if I say I'm gonna have my own exhibition this year, because that takes a long time. The process of making all the pieces and gathering ideas and graph your stuff and show it to galleries and see if you're a good match. I seriously don't have any idea what to do here, because I am not familiar with the art world. And it's super intimidating to just think about it.
Well,
but I'm just gonna start painting, and from that I'll see what's gonna happen.
The traditional art world and the DIY art world are two very different things, and I've always been a fan of not feeling the need to lean into the traditional institutions. You know what I mean? To not feel reliant on whatever the status quo establishment is, in the same way that there's a classical music intelligentsia that decides who are the in composers and not. And I never found enjoyment in trying to appeal to those types of people and to fit in with whatever sort of they collectively seem to like. And not that they have necessarily bad taste. There's plenty of composer friends of mine that have fallen in the good graces of those who see their music performed left and right and have really kind of built pretty great careers. But I don't think I would ever. I'm too much of an explorer. I don't like to do the same thing over and over again. So if I wrote maybe one piece that found its way into theirs, it's likely I wouldn't write a second one that way. So thank God for games and movies and things giving me an
Oh,
outlet
yeah.
to constantly try new things. But in any case, yeah, I think personally, an exhibition in collaboration with a traditional gallery or an exhibition that you just completely build on your own. I know I would be the type to do the latter, and it's the one I would advocate
Yeah.
for. But whichever one,
Is the one that I would probably aim for as well, but
it's obviously higher
I'm
risk.
not gonna close my mind
Yeah,
and
for
what.
sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll
Absolutely.
see. I hope that I get to do a better job. And yeah, the next one is having interesting guests in this podcast.
I think we're gonna have plenty. We have a nice list building.
Yeah, this month we were gonna launch the first one with a guest, but you know, after having us in traveling so much, and then we got sick, and then you know, holidays, so we decided to just not and start fresh. We get to like open that window for our listeners, and they get to know more people, and they get to be inspired by others through this podcast. So we'll see.
I hope so, and I certainly think it's possible. Some cool people that I know were jonesing to talk to, so we'll leave it very mysteriously at that. But that's a great one.
And the last one is visit Costa Rica.
Excellent. Yeah, I think along those lines, one of mine was that I really enjoyed our little getaway to Big Bear, and I'm hoping to make that a thing that we do on a more regular basis, even if it's a short little one day, but like not even saying like once a year, but more frequently than that, because it truthfully is not that big of an impact, to just get away somewhere. There are places that are not that far that one can go to, and crucially, like there are places that we can bring canvas. And so yeah,
Excellent.
that was one of my similar, like, let's make a point of doing that more frequently, because that was a really nice trip,
It was.
and it was a nice little kind of quick breather, you know, a little palate cleanse, as it were.
But no, I hope we get to visit. We are aiming for Comic Con in Costa Rica, and let's hope that everything goes well and we get to be there and Austin get to meet a lot of people and we get to bring somebody else. Hopefully everything goes well. I'm not gonna say more, but that's the hope.
Exactly. Exactly. That was the last one on yours? You want me to finish it
That
off?
was kind of the last one. The fifth one was more personal, moving.
Ah.
I was not gonna mention, but this is, you know, just more personal moving. I don't know. This is not my decision, of course. We have to discuss a lot of things, but moving is probably one of the things we will focus on next year.
Yeah, we may end up moving. There's a lot of variables in the air on that one. But yeah. Well, excellent
Thank
list.
you.
Like I mentioned, my the travel one overlapped with yours, the little getaways, I mean. And also the guests, I also wrote down like finding cool ways to kind of expand whatever this brushes and keys is. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be just relegated to a podcast, for example. And I don't really know what that means, but I love the idea of finding expanding creative outlets. And that's something I want to.
Actually, Brushes and Keys was born because it's an expansion of Diálogos, basically. But we couldn't do Diálogos because of the pandemic. So at the end, we decided to do a podcast.
Well, and but also, you know, you created, for example, those adorable little brush and key. And like, that's the kind of thing I mean, where it can manifest a lot of different ways. Just the idea of the collaboration between us can show up in a bunch of different avenues. Like, it doesn't have to just be...
Yeah, I get it.
It doesn't have to just be, you know...
Right, just this one thing.
It doesn't have to... It's more like an umbrella term for anything that we work on together. And I like the idea of expanding the list of those things. That's why I like when you start talking about exhibitions and all that kind of stuff. So,
for the record, guys, Brush and Key, it's a little comic thingy that I made just out of, you know, boredom, I guess. Brush is a dragon and Key is a rat. It's based on our Chinese zodiac signs. And I am a dragon, as soon as a rat. And I decided to make a little comic that it's about these two characters dealing with whatever, you know, self-esteem or work or friends or whatever, you know. So there's a little thing that I have. I only post that on Instagram. It's called Brush and Key. And yeah, it's a little adorable thing that I have on the side.
Yeah, they're very cute.
But yeah.
So yeah, that was one. And kind of like your exhibition one. One of the things that's been gratifying about working on this Stray Gods is it's the first time in a while that I work on something that feels really fundamentally new from what I'm used to. Just writing a musical in general is not my normal gig, as it were.
Right.
And certainly an interactive musical is wildly unlike anything that I've ever done. Just the sheer amount of file management alone is so insane. And I want to make sure that on a regular basis, I am doing things that feel that new. There's so much that can be done in the world, and especially in the world of music, that I want to make sure that you know, every year I'm hunting down something that feels like, now this I've not done. I've never really tried my hand at this, whatever that may be. So, you know, I have a bunch of ideas, most of which are things that I'm not going to speak about publicly until they're ready, but I'm happy to just make that kind of a fundamental goal.
Excellent. And
the corollary to that, that is in a way the opposite of it, is that I have for years, there's a few ideas that I've had for kind of traditional albums that I've had for years and years and years and years, that I've kind of sat on or I've moved very slowly on. And there's a couple, there's one in particular or two in particular that I'm like, I really should just do them finally and just get them done. Make 2023 the year that I kind of get these things out into the world.
If you don't make them, I'll play this episode at the end of the year.
Yeah, please. Shame me. Canvas approves.
Yep.
All right. Well, that I think brings us to the end of 2022. That was the last one. Okay. That was my last one.
I decided to, instead of one album, let's do two, but I don't know if you have one.
The one that I will single out is a new friend. I did not know him until recently. We went to his party. You met him. Kit Wakely made an album about growing up adopted and being separated from his sister and turned the whole story into an album. That's called An Adoption Story. He got nominated in the Classical Compendium category at the Grammys this year. And I never heard of him. Other than we crossed paths, it caught my eye that he recorded with the London Symphony around the same time that we did the Traveler Symphony. And I just found the album to be beautiful, but his story is kind of unbelievable. It's a kind of modern classical, but it's not attached to a film or a game or anything like that. It's not a soundtrack. It's just modern orchestral, neoclassical, they might call it. But with a really powerful personal story behind it. So there you go. That's the one I'll throw out there. What's your album?
Well, the idea was to suggest like an album that can be listened to wrap up 2022. So I decided to bring like something happy and like good vibes, and I don't know. And so what the first time that came to mind was Coldplay. But those happy albums are probably the later ones, I think. And I think I'm going to go to another direction by bringing up this album, a 20-year-old album, A Rush of Blood to the Head. It was the album that I got to listen for the very first time. And this is the one that made me fall in love with them back in high school. And yeah, I think this is probably their best.
Wow, big statement.
I know. It has a lot of masterpieces, in my opinion. So there's that. Rush of Blood to the Head by Coldplay.
Two very different albums.
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
Big shout out to everybody who takes the time to listen to our stories, even though if sometimes they're silly or long. I don't think none of them are boring. I hope you guys don't feel that. But I am so grateful for all the time that you spend here with us and to share online your thoughts and just, you know, the nice messages you send. That is how I know you guys enjoy this. And I hope you never stop. Please keep sending messages. Please keep keeping in touch with us, because that is the only way I get to know that this is working.
As many conductors have said over the years to the audience attending a concert, if you weren't here, this would just be another rehearsal.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. we need to know that you're there. And it is deeply appreciated.
Yeah.
All right. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy the rest of 2022, and we'll see you in 2023.
Yay!